Welcome to the Divine Reconnection Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm Natalie. Together, we're here to guide you through authentic conversations about healing, self-awareness, and building conscious relationships.
On this podcast, we dive into the journey of reconnecting with yourself and your partner, sharing our insights from our own relationship, how we broke up, healed individually, and came back together stronger than ever.
Whether you're navigating love, healing from trauma, or just looking to grow emotionally, this is a space for you. We're all about keeping it real and sharing the tools that have helped us along the way.
So get comfortable and join us as we explore what it truly means to reconnect, mind, body, and soul.
And now let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to the Divine Reconnection Podcast. My name is Lauren.
And I'm Natalie.
We are going to slowly tell our story and slowly unfold the multi parts of us. It's very difficult to try to tell the story all in one podcast, but you can find us on our platform, on Her and Her Girlfriend on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. What else?
Facebook.
So yeah. So how are you, baby?
I think I'm doing good. I just finished having a call with my dad and was realizing how much alike we are than not, and how both of us just want peace. And yeah. So that was a good conversation to hear in my adult self. At least I'll say it was a good conversation that my inner child heard from her daddy.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't the only one who felt like I was misplaced, or I felt kind of like out of whack in an environment or a home where there was like a lot of anger and yelling and stuff like that. And we just talked about that, had some laughs. He smoked a joint. He said he wished he could send us some, by the way. I was like, no, daddy.
Shout out to daddy.
I was like, sorry, daddy.
Yeah, we don't want you to get locked up by the feds.
Yeah,
I was trying to ship weed internationally.
I was like, you know, in the seasons where we don't have it, I see it as like there's a reason why we don't have it, and in the seasons where we do have it, then you know, there's a reason to have it. And he's like, I understand, but it is harder. But
it's
harder.
Oh, it's harder without weed.
Yeah. He's like, sometimes he's like Jekyll and Hyde. And so he'll be feeling some kind of way, and then he goes and smokes a joint, and then he comes back all happy, and his wife is like, oh, I'm so happy. And he's like, I just feel good. Meanwhile, he had a joint.
That is too funny. Yes. You know, like, that's his way of emotional regulation.
Yeah.
That's basically what I heard.
Yeah. That's how he calms himself down. And he's like, I wish I got it on camera, but he's like, that's the reason why they're trying to ban weed, or that's why it's banned, because he's like, if everybody was happy and carefree, ain't nobody gonna be working and keeping everything running.
That's too funny.
How about you, baby? How are you doing?
I am feeling really, really good. I'm noticing that if you haven't tuned into our last podcast episode, we spoke about where we currently are physically, where Natalie is emotionally, mentally, and speaking about like your dad and the conversation and you wanting peace and stuff in the household and how y'all were alike, it sounded like you were still in like the continuation of our last episode. Because we're still kind of reflecting on that. We're still in the process. We're in our adult stage of life where we are reflecting a lot about our childhood, because our childhood made us us. They made us who we are. And sometimes I feel like I annoy people because I want to dig so far into me that sometimes that means unearthing things that people are not ready to talk about. And so I try to do it in balance, and I try to do it in strides, and understand that not everybody is ready to dig into the history of what made me who I am, because it also involves other people and digging into what other people have.
So talking about how deep you're digging. I came across this post on TikTok that made me think about you, and I had to save it. And that's why I was like, my phone says, it says this. This is you. You are an alchemist, transmuting the darkest of places into light, pushing those around you to liberate themselves from the shadows of limiting beliefs and defeating thoughts. You are an alchemist, letting your vulnerability shine so others feel encouraged and safe to do the same. Your raw energy and openness can be intimidating to those who have never learned how to allow their true selves to come forward. They're not running away from you, they're running away from themselves, because by being near you, by walking alongside your power, they have been forced to truthfully witness themselves. You are but a mirror that reflects their deepest thoughts and darkest nights of the soul, a mirror that shows their greatest potentials and capabilities. You are not a surface level being and never have been. They are not running away from you. They're running away from the reflection of themselves and what they must accept, love, and face to continue to fully walk alongside you.
That was perfectly said. Yeah, I think that was perfectly said, and that definitely describes my life. It definitely describes how I feel on the inside, and it encapsulates the uncomfortable part of this path. When you are a, what'd she say, alchemist, and when you are willing to walk this path, and it includes you having to really face parts of you that is, may not be so pretty. And then when you, I didn't just come into this world with Lauren's stuff. I came into this world with my parents' stuff. I came into this world with my grandparents, my great grandparents. The stuff that I carry is not just mine. And so I just understand this job I have, this assignment that I have to people are calling it healing. But just rediscovering who I am.
So, what would you call this season of your journey?
This season of my journey, I'm not sure what I would call it. I think that
Maybe what are you discovering in this season of your journey? Like, what are you having to put into practice?
loaded question. Something about me is I'm always thinking. It's always on my face. My brother calls it my thinking phase, but I'm always thinking, and in a good way, I'm always putting stuff into practice. So one thing in particular is I am implementing journaling daily, and it's a loose goal of mine. I want to make sure that I journal, but I also don't want to hold myself to like this strict regimen to where if I don't do it, I feel bad about it. So, I journal because my mind is always moving. My mind is always thinking and analyzing. And so it's important for me to write it down, and it's important for my processing, and the way that I process to write stuff down. So I may write down my intentions. I may write down dreams I had, emotions that I need to process. And then sometimes content ideas that come to me like super fast, and they don't quite get to the internet, but I write them down to make sure that I'm taking action, so that I'm letting the my higher self and my uni in the universe know, keep giving me these ideas. I want to take action. I want to get to a point where that this flows continuously, and I don't want to do anything to stop that. So I journal. That's one of the things that I implement.
You're like an immediate implementer. Like if there's like something that you feel,
Flower.
if you feel like there's something that you need to change about yourself or you want to improve, you're the kind of person that will see it, diagnose it, analyze it, and shift immediately. So I want to know, I'm curious to know in terms of like I've been seeing this like transition in you in terms of like your dynamics with your family, how you've been backing away, but then also seeing a deeper gratitude and seeing and just being more compassionate towards them. I'm curious to know like what has been going on within you where you're able to show up differently for your parents in a way that they didn't get maybe last season while we were in Thailand?
Man, I swear, like that question is so hard to answer because a lot is going on within me. And speaking about the first thing you said about me being an immediate implementer, I am that way intentionally because I have run across information in the past 5 years that I really internalized and I really understood on a deepest of levels, and it hit home that what drives my everyday tasks, what drives my everyday results is the way that I think. And so I'm an immediate implementer because if I know to do better, I'm gonna start then to implement little by little in my daily tasks to figure it out. My healing journey began because of I didn't like the results of my life. I did not like that I was in a job that didn't fulfill me. I had friends that I didn't feel the support that I gave out. I hung out with close family members who I felt like did not see me the way I wanted them to see me. The pandemic hit, and then it really hit me like, oh, I'm in a job that I completely don't feel aligned to. I'm in relationships with people who I don't feel aligned to. And so all of these things kept hitting me back to back to back. And then I get the news that there was some infidelity in my family. And that just was the straw that hit that broke the camel's back. I was mad, I was angry, and that took me on a journey, a further journey into myself. I was trying to fake the compassion, but I was really upset. And there was no conversation other than the conversation of, hey, we got something to tell you. I mean, let's like keep it real. Like my dad cheated on my mom. And this ain't the first time. I knew my dad was cheating back when I was in high school. I knew he was cheating back when I was in elementary. Like he's been cheating for years. And honestly, I think my mom has known about it kind of, but I think that this time it was not ignorable. I wanted to have conversations. I told you in the last episode, I'm very communicative. Me and my mom have built a bond off of communication. My dad, no, we didn't do that. But this actually made everybody uncomfortable. And me, I'm like, oh, we gotta talk about the uncomfortableness. What's happening here?
Why were you so angry? What was little Lauren inside feeling that made you? I think that the logical side comes up as like you're trying to understand, you're trying to get grasp some level of understanding as to.
Yeah, 'cause logic makes me comfortable. Logic helps me compartmentalize, let's be real. And if I can understand a situation logically, then it would help, I think. I don't know, I'm still working through it. I think it would help me emotionally. But at this point, I don't think that's true. Now that I'm actually saying it out loud and processing it verbally, I don't think that that's true. I think that it takes a different route to understand logically what's happening. And then there's a different route that happens in your body and in your DNA and in your physical self when an emotion and when you know, emotions are energy. When energy takes place and moves around in your body and gets trapped in certain places, that's a different process. And I didn't allow that process. I didn't even know what I was feeling. I was confused. I was angry. I was grieving too. The relationship that I had saw or hoped that I had in my household, it's like when reality sits in, it takes a while for you to sit and process reality. And so that's what I felt like I was doing, but I was trying to rush the process because I rely so much on logic.
That was a huge break
Oh, yeah.
in your connection with your family, that was a huge break in your connection with your mother.
Yeah.
And you started seeing both of your parents
In different lights.
differently.
Let's be real. I wasn't cheated on. You know, my mom was cheated on. And then I'm not the one who did the cheating. My dad did the cheating. And I'm just the person that's reaping the aftermath, right? It affects me directly and indirectly. And me being a relationship coach, oh, let's talk about that. It has definitely strengthened my ability and my passion for being a relationship coach. The more I got into relationship coaching, the more I kept having to reassess how I feel as a child, as a daughter to my parents and their situation. At first, I was like, how could you cheat? Like, what you doing? You know? And then I was like, what do you think this messaging, what do you think the messaging is to your children, to your daughter? You know what I'm saying? Then I was like, I responded as a child. I really did. I responded in a way of just spewing out all these questions and these emotions, and my parents did not have the capacity, because my mom was dealing with her own emotions, and then my dad was dealing with his, and my brothers were dealing with theirs. But this definitely changed. This was the turning point of my immediate family dynamic.
I remember during this time you being really upset that your mom didn't move in a certain way. She didn't leave. She didn't do, quote unquote, better for herself. And she gave your dad another chance. And she was there for your dad in a way that you felt like she never showed you that she was there for you.
Oh yeah. So when I say that I was responding like a child, this situation unearthed something in me. I am a lesbian by society. I am in a Christian family who does not agree with my decisions. They tell me that they're okay with me privately, and they try to accept me when we're at home and things like that. But when it comes to facing society, I really got wind, and I really get wind that my mom and aunts and cousins are ashamed, or they don't agree, or it's clear there's some energy there, but I try not to like lean into it. But there's something that's there that I can feel, but I know it has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with them. So when my parents revealed to me that more ways that they're imperfect, and that my dad cheated, I was really looking at how my mom was going to respond, because again, she is my person that I admire. I'm like, my mom raised me. What you see is the result of both of my parents, what not to be and what to be. And my mom, this was the first time that when I looked at her, she has now taught me what not to be. And that was a shift for me, because I thought that she was going to leave. She has every right to leave. Society is probably telling her she should leave, but religion tells her she should stay. The Bible tells her she should stay. And oh, I was like, wait, you got compassion for this man, but you don't have compassion for me? I just went down a hill. I was like, how are you willing to accept this level of pain, this level of embarrassment, this level of betrayal? But when it comes to me, when I bring you to the house, oh, I don't want y'all sleeping in the same room. All right, we slept in the same room. She is hush hush about her daughter's relationship. Like, I don't know what she refers you as. Maybe she just like Natalie. I don't know if she's at the point where she's saying that's her girlfriend or that's her partner. I don't know where she's at. But she knows that if I catch her, you know, doing that, I'm gonna call her out. So she tries to do it however she's comfortable. And I get mama, she has her own process. I get that. But who she raised and who she is actually and how she's carrying out her decision making when it comes to that, to me at that time in 2021, 2022, it was very questionable to me. I was like, why is she not leaving? Why does she have so much compassion for him but don't have compassion for me? Again, that's that ego way of thinking, like a child. That's where little Lauren came about. Ooh, I got well acquainted with little Lauren after this. 6 months had passed. And you and I and the rest of my immediate family, my brothers, my brother's wife, everybody went to Cabo for my cousin's wedding. And I'm trying to hold it in and I'm really trying to be cordial. I'm like, I'm not Lauren is the one that's going to wreak havoc. We gonna hear Lauren's mouth. And that's the role I've had my whole life. We gonna hear her mouth. So I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna be opposite. I'm not gonna be the one to bring this up.
But meanwhile,
Oh,
behind
it's
closed
eating me inside.
doors.
I'm talking shit. I'm talking shit about my dad. I'm talking shit about my mom. I'm just upset. And me and my mom's relationship just started to drift, you know? But something special happened throughout this whole process. My parents grew closer after this cheating situation happened. I have never seen my dad do the things that he's doing right now. And I saw them get to know themselves truly. And they're still getting to know. This is fresh. I hear and I'm understanding that it takes a long time for this betrayal and infidelity and this whole energy that's now trapped in my parents' DNA. You know, this is probably a generational trauma as well. But it takes a while to process this, and it's theirs to process. I had to back off.
What was the moment you realized you had to back off? Like it was causing you too much turmoil to stay in.
In 2023, when I and you broke up, and I went back to Houston to live with them, that's when I realized I had to back off.
What was happening when you moved in with your parents as an adult child, going back into this like family dynamic at home and having to be face to face with something that still bothers you deeply?
My parents was living in a two-bedroom apartment, and my parents, of course, had their room, and my brother had his room, and I was in the living room. I had blow-up mattress and whatever. And so that dynamic of being in the shared space and not having my own space that I'm used to was a shock to me. Another layer is her being his servant, which of course you can just tell by the way I'm telling the story that I have a lot of like animosity for her. I don't believe in that,
You didn't feel
especially
like
when it's imbalanced. I feel like my dad was not showing my mom the love she deserved, and I felt very strongly about that. And it felt like that my mom was doing everything in her power to be a good woman and be a good wife and be a traditional wife, because that's what the women around her showed her that she should be. When I entered back into that house, I just got triggered all up and down. So much started coming out. It went from, oh yeah, I'm accepting, I'm fine, I've grown, I've healed. You know, I've done a level of healing. I didn't heal, but I've done a level of healing. And so I thought that I was fine. And then I'm in this environment that puts me right back in being their daughter. And they, you know, there's some ways that they treat you like the little daughter. And they, you know, I already don't have my privacy. I gotta go out on a balcony and, you know, go have my space. And I gotta do yoga in the living room. And, you know, when I'm cooking, they asking me why am I making these types of meals, or you know, everybody wants me to conform into their dynamic, and rightfully so. I'm in their space. They're not in my space, so I was triggered. And then me and mama tried to continue having our relationship, not just over the phone, because you know, I'm somewhere else and she's here, but I now we face to face, and she can't hide from me what she's actually doing. Over the phone, you can be like, oh yeah, I'm good, da, 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 and you take the word for it. But I got to see that my mama wasn't good. And I got to see that my dad wasn't good. And I got to see things that triggered me and made me go back into the place that I've been my whole entire life, which is dad is the villain. Mom, I want to save her and I want her to feel better. What can I do? And so that was so tiring for me. And I backed off. I was like, I can't do this no more.
I think one thing that is one thing about you is that your presence riles up a lot within people. And I think that you entered back into your childhood home at a very interesting point in your healing journey and at a very interesting point in your family. I think that if you weren't there, if you weren't in the house, I don't think that your parents would be where they are right now. You've set a you're a very clear representation, and you also call them out. I remember you saying something about like your dad said something to your mom, and you were like, you gonna say please, or I don't know how to say.
Oh yes, I was in the living room and my parents were in the kitchen and my dad was, in my opinion, speaking to my mom in a disrespectful way. And he does it not in a way where it is like blatantly disrespectful. He does it in a joking way. He can do it in a way where he gets away with it, and he gets away with it. This is why he's still doing it to this day. But I haven't been around in a very long time. So I come back to the house and I'm sitting on the couch and I hear them talking. And I hear him say something just disrespectful. And I was gonna let it slide because I grew up in a household where you kind of like stay in your place and you don't talk, you don't cross that line. It almost like came out of me like, no, we're not about to do that. He was like, what? And I said, that's very disrespectful. I said, is there a way that you can say that to her in a better way? Because he said, what'd I say? Completely oblivious because he gets away with it. And I reiterated how he said it and what he said. And he tried to like play it off. And my mom was, she was kind of like in a shock, but also felt like, you know what? Yeah, that was disrespectful. And my dad apologized. And he was like, okay, well, I didn't mean to say that. If I'm gonna be in your presence and you taught me how to be respectful, it is only my job to hold you accountable to you being respectful. And there is no way that I'm gonna allow a man, I don't care if he's my daddy, to disrespect any woman that's around me. I had to do that a couple times, but my dad respects me, and both of my parents respect me to a level where they know I'm not coming from a place to try to like get on them.
You shock people out of their norm.
I shock people out of being asleep because
Yes.
everybody that I come in contact with, 9 times out of 10 are asleep at the wheel. And remember when I said that almost kind of like before my journey really, really began? Okay, my healing journey has always been in process. But when I started being intentional about my healing journey, I understood that my thoughts create my action, and what you do every day creates the results of your life. And when I understood that, I started making changes within me. And so that's what I rile up in people is because I can see them. I can see the little things that they let slide. I can see how my dad talking to my mom happens on a daily basis because that's how we got here.
But you don't just see it, you speak out and you make them accountable for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
And
can't. There's nothing. I'm the way God made me. I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. I've gotten softer and I've gotten more wiser and I've gotten more polished with how I call out people because at first it was real rough. But I think that I'm learning through our relationship when to just let you be and when to call it out. And sometimes it can be jarring because it can be like, man, this girl is watching me all the time. She's watching when I mess up. She's watching when I do this. And it's like I want the best in people, but I gotta realize that people's experiences will make them the best people.
yeah, I'll say that being in a relationship with you is not easy.
I know it's not. Being in a relationship with me ain't easy. Like me being in a relationship with me ain't easy.
Being the person that's by your side that is gets kind of the first brunt of whatever
You get the unpolished part of
I do
me.
until you decide to heal that, and then you're like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, I already
I'm
got
already, yeah.
PTSD.
You get the what they call it when they come out with something new and it's the beta version.
The beta, I don't know.
Like you get the new, like the iPhone 1, and then the iPhone 1 got all the bugs and all the problems, and then when the iPhone 2 or the iPhone 3 or 15 come out, it's like the better version. But you have gotten the 1, the 2, the first generation Lauren. You've gotten and I can only imagine.
It has been very stressful.
Especially because you entering into this relationship, you had a set of skills that you had to learn
To survive
to
in
be
life.
able to, yeah, to just survive in your world. And then you coming into my world, you didn't grow up like me. And so like this, all this communication that's happening, this didn't happen straight out.
This
Not
confrontational, how confrontational you are, how direct you are, how much you want me to be accountable, like all of that is,
This is new.
it's like I'm still, it's like getting training wheels and trying to ride over a freaking like cobblestone, like and or another example I always use is like you driving and there's nothing but potholes and you're like swerve, swerve, swerve.
That's how
And then you'd
they
be like,
get.
duck, 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 you know, like there's it, that's just what it feels like in a relationship. But it's like for me, for you on your side, like okay, I'm still going into this analogy. On your side of the car, the potholes have been, they have been filled, you know,
They've been repaired and
they've been
smoothed over.
repaired. And I'm still over here with busted potholes on my side, and I'm just like, good for you, but I'm still trying to catch up. I'm still trying to figure out where do I get the asphalt and the products
Oh,
to fill this thing.
that's a good point, bruh. And
And then you be like, why you acting? Why your neck hurt? Because why your neck is hurting? With it,
like I'm fine over
like
here.
y'all fine over
My
here?
bones are already healed. Why are you over there crooked?
Oh, baby. Yeah, I mean,
Oh wow. It's like on one side, I feel empathetic and sympathetic, and I can only imagine what it takes to be in a relationship with me. I can understand how it may feel to ride alongside me, because you know what? My inner child is letting me know how you are taking all of this, because she also is taking this. She is letting me know how I'm not being compassionate. So when she teaches me to be compassionate, then I relay that to you. And I'm so apologetic, and I'm so understanding of it is not easy, and it can't be easy. And I did not know that I was signing up for this. I did not know that you was signing up for this. You didn't know that you was signing up for this. I'm just happy that you're still here. Do you know that you have a choice to be here? I never take your choice away. And I'm happy that you choose to be there. And at any point where you feel like, hey, I'm tired of these bumpy roads. You know, like I know it can be hard to hear somebody say that, but I want to let you know that you have autonomy and you can choose otherwise. Because in my world, although I understand that side, in my world, it has been revealed to me what assignment I have. It has been revealed to me that I am an alchemist, and I it's been revealed to me that I am a trailblazer, and I must stay true to the course. And I think that I'm learning through this relationship that although I'm a trailblazer and although I need to stay true to this course, you have shown me where my blind spots are. You have shown me to be compassionate. That's so important. You have shown me how to reparent myself, and you've had patience. You've shown me patience. Shit. Like when you need the softer, when your child, your inner child is like, but I don't get it. Teach me. Or, but can you wait? Or,
It's not even wait. It's like, can you just let me be?
yeah, can you leave me alone? I know that you can do the things that you want over here, but can you stop expecting me to do it? And I had to get to that point because I actually did that with my family. When I came home, I was like, oh, y'all need to be eating this and y'all need to be doing this. And oh, I do yoga or I, mommy, you want to go work out with me? And then I realized, ain't nobody paying me no attention. I'm running people away as opposed to bringing them closer. So my higher self, my inner self, meditation, God, everybody was like, Lauren, hold your brakes. They not listening to you. And plus, you need to go on this journey by yourself. You need to figure out some more stuff about you. Don't hold on. You don't get to a point where you can teach people, but you need to go through the path yourself. And so I said, all right, let me start being quiet. Let me just do the things I know to do and stop expecting everybody else around me to do it. That's when the game changed for me. I started waking up every morning doing yoga, not because I wanted anybody to watch me, not because it was because it was really helping me. My parents and me being in the household was stressing me the fuck out. It was a lot. So thank God that I already started my process. I knew I love to do yoga. I know I love to stretch. I love to go on evening walks. Not to say I go on evening walks and not to put it on Instagram either. It was because it kept me sane. So the bike rides that me and you, that ain't because it looked cute on Instagram. It was because shit was going on around us and it was so nice to have a break. So those followed me when I went back to Houston and my family saw what I was doing. When you taught me nutrition and you taught me what my body is actually telling me and what my body needs, I dropped like 50 pounds and all this kind of stuff. So when I returned back home, my parents also was like, who the fuck are you? And so when I came to them and I'm like, I'm a changed person, they really had to see it. So they got an insight on my daily activities and they got an insight on what I did every day. And when I was shutting up and leaving people alone, that's when the impact started. And so speaking on your point earlier, you was like, had I not came home and stayed with them those 8 months and they got to see me live out my life, then they wouldn't be where they are now. And my parents, bro, they so different. They still going through what they need to go through, but when I had to exit out of the picture and stop trying to manage their life and mine, things just got so much di different.
More there was more peace or calmness.
Yeah, there was more peace and calmness within me, and there was more peace and calmness within them. They no longer felt that pressure to get it right because they know Lauren gonna say something. Lauren expecting something. So I backed off and I'm like, hey, okay, y'all work this out. I'm gonna go work out. I'm still mad and I'm still upset, but I'm gonna go work this out over here. My mom has been really patient with me, and my dad has been really patient with me. So I'm like, it's only right to just be patient with myself and be patient with them and let them work it out themselves. My mom was really, really nice about helping me through my process. She actually paid for a life coach for me. And it was a pretty penny. And she knew I was in pain and she knew that I was projecting. She didn't have the language and she didn't know what it was, but she knew that I was expecting more from them that they couldn't give me. So she paid for a life coach. And that has been a tremendous change in my life. In the way that I see things, she helped me process through things. If anything, she just let me talk about my pure, honest feelings with her. You know, and that was a time where I thought that life coaches were therapists. So I kind of was treating her as a therapist and not a life coach, but it did what it needed to do. And so I didn't have, you know, and I'm here and I got to have a conversation with my dad yesterday. And I called him up. He'd been on my mind for a while. And I called him, asked him how his day was. And my dad is a complainer. And he was, complaining
Most
about
people are.
something. Most people are. And I noticed how in the past I used to try to change him from being a complainer. But this time I listened. I was like, damn, I can see how that is frustrating. And so I asked him more questions about why it was upsetting to him and things like that. That's how our dynamic has been changing. My dad has opened up to me now. He don't close off and turn this way. Now he's like willing to have conversations with me. My dad did not want to have a conversation with me prior. But in this conversation, he was like, "Well, what you got going on? What's happening?" And I said, "Well," he said, "What's wrong?" Because I was looking down. I said, "No, nothing's wrong." I said, "Me and Natalie just re recorded this podcast, and we're talking about parents and our childhood." And I said, "I got to a point after the re episode of reflection, and I said, I'm just in gratitude, and I realized how you played a part in my life, and I wanted to thank you for the part that you played in my life." And he was like, "You have told me that before." I said, "Really?" He was like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I don't remember, but I guess you can never say this too many times." He said, "Nope, you can't. I'll never get tired of hearing that." And so I was so thankful because my dad knows how much I love him. I was so thankful because I told him on that phone call, I was like, "Dad, I grew up hating you. I grew up resenting you.
You said some really hurtful.
I said some really hurtful things to my dad because he wasn't the dad that I saw on TV. He wasn't. Sometimes your parents can perpetuate societal no norms, and my mom didn't grow up knowing her biological dad, and so she was very adamant about dads being in our life. And so my mom, I grew up with her pushing for him to be what he wasn't. And so because he didn't reach the expectations she thought that he should reach, she and I and my brothers felt that he wasn't a good dad based on how our mom felt. And I realized that at some point in my adulthood, and I was like, "You know what, Dad? I appreciate you. I recognize how you did the best you could." And he opened up to me. He was like, "Man, I didn't have a, I didn't." He grew up in a two-bed parent household, but he was like, "When I got married and I moved out to Houston from Mississippi," he was like, "there was no structure. Nobody told me how to be a dad. Nobody told me. I knew my dad was a good dad, but his way of parenting was from a different generation. I didn't know how to be. I didn't, you know, he didn't quite know how to be what he was. He just knew he was a good dad to his standards, not to mine." But
Which was a provider.
he came from that generation where basically, as long as your dad is in the house, as long as he's provider, as long as he's God-fearing, as long as he don't beat your mama, as long as, you know, like stuff like that he's a good dad. But I feel like as generations go on, the standard for being a good dad is growing, and some people want to stay back in that generation. But anyway, I'll just say that the conversation was, I told my dad how much I appreciated him, and I told him how I'm learning how to deliver messages correctly because of him. I told him, he was like, "You know what? Out of three of my kids," my life coach was actually at a wedding they went to this past weekend, and my life coach didn't put two and two together that she was meeting my parents until later when someone said, "Yeah, this is Lauren Pratt's mama," you know. And she was like, that lady, my life coach, looked at my mom because this is their first time meeting. She was like, "Your daughter is such a phenomenal woman." And my parents was like, she said, my parents looked at her, and my mom said that she saw tears in that woman's eyes. And both of my parents said, "Yeah, we know. She's an awesome person." And my dad told me on the phone call when he met the woman, said that I got three kids and Lauren is the one I will never have to worry about. And I know he means that as a compliment, and they do view me as the strong one, and they do view me as the headstrong one and the smart, you know, like
The wise
the
one.
wise one, the trailblazer. He was like, "Landon won't ever leave the house. And Lawrence, it's a, you know," he said it's a I don't know what his wording was, and it's not important. It's just, but I think he was saying that because he saw attributes of me,
Of him.
he saw attributes of him in me that he knew I was gonna be okay. And in all actuality, all his kids will be okay. All three of them, all three of us will be okay because we were raised really well and we had very supportive parents and we got a good example of what to be and what not to be. And although my dad had that opinion about his kids, I do understand. I'm saying this because I'm a girl and my relationship with my mom was a defining factor. Not my relationship with my dad, but my brothers, their relationship with their dad is more defining, and they have a deficit. One of my brothers in particular feel this deficit very strongly in his adulthood. And so if he does tune into this episode, I just wanted to say, like, no matter how dad sees us, all three of us will be okay because all of us are our own trailblazers and all of us are well equipped and we just have different paths. I guess in a nutshell, where I am in my life, what is actually happening, what it is that I'm implementing is my assignment has been cemented in my head and is becoming more and more clear. And I am now learning how to be polished. I'm letting the universe polish me. I'm letting my relationship show me compassion. I'm letting my parents' relationship make me softer and see relationships from a new lens. I'm letting my past traumas teach me that if I didn't have these past traumas, I would not be who I am today.
You're learning not to be as rigid.
I'm learning not to be as rigid. I'm learning not to push people away. I'm learning that the reason I push people away is because I don't trust them, and that's connected to my past trauma of being sexually abused. I'm learning that the way I treated my dad was because of how my mom viewed him, but just because she viewed him through her lens of not knowing her dad and her having a way she wanted her husband to be, that has nothing to do with me. I'm learning how to relove my dad. I'm learning how to relove my mom. I'm learning how to relove myself. And I'm learning all of these things so my children and my children's children will not have to endure the things that I have endured. And if they did endure the things that I endured, they have the tools because it is not a bad thing that I endured what I endured. I used to think that, why me? Everybody always think, why me? Why did I have to? But I learned through watching a lot of content that the best teacher is experience. We don't learn by people telling us. We learn by experiencing. And when we came into this earth and when we were born here on this planet, we knew that it was going to be hard.
We knew what we were signing up
And
for.
we knew what we were signing up for. But when we came through the canal, when we came into this realm, we forgot like that. And that's all a part of the process. We're supposed to forget so that we can relearn. Shout out to Candace Love because I learned that from her. We are supposed to forget so that we can relearn. And now that I've relearned, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. I'm so happy that I did it because I didn't think that I could do it at some point.
I mean, I think part of the healing journey is it's a continuous process. Like you're always going to have new experiences that are going to re-trigger you and be and show you like, oh, well, here's another opportunity for me to morph or shift or reflect and heal this wound that's popping up again in a different way. And so I think that what's happening and what I'm seeing from you is this shifting in your own dynamic with your parents, where you're learning your father, you used to call your mom every day. Every day at the beginning of our relationship was like you had to talk to your mom. And now it's like there's more time between talking to her.
And it's strategic because I'm learning that remember when I was like, I gotta back off. And then I also was learning that I was being triggered. And I also learned that every day I wake up, I don't know which version of me is going to wake up and open her eyes. Some days I wake up and I'm re-mad all over again. And some days I realize that I can't talk to my mom when I'm mad because what's gonna come out is she's gonna feel that energy and she's already dealing with her stuff. So I'm learning, let me spread out this time when I talk to my family, because I got to give myself grace and give myself space to show up and to wake up and be like, if I want to be mad, I'm gonna be mad. I can't hide my stuff. So this space between me and my family, physical space and us calling each other every day, I still love everybody, but I gotta back off.
And what's really interesting about this time period is that we're kind of both in that space where we're both distancing away from our mom. There's just been different opportunities for us to distance and see situations from a different light.
And it's needed.
It is needed.
It's needed and it's okay.
Right. And there's not, like, on my side, I know on your side, there isn't any spite or any hate or any ups, like, there isn't any negative emotion really attached to it. Sometimes it's just like the little girl in you just feels sad because they just want their mom. And I think that that's for me at least what I feel. I just want my mommy to see me. I want my mommy to understand. I don't want her to be upset at me. I want to have a this kind of this relationship with her, but the adult self side of me is also understanding.
I need to learn how to be there for myself.
I need to be there for myself and not expect my mom or my family to show up in ways that I'm placing them in that they can't uphold, and then I get re-mad all over again or resentful.
Girl, you go, girl. Go, girl. That's a gem right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. And I like the my first lesson of that was, with my brother situation. And even how painful and sad it makes me to not have a sibling relationship that I desire with my brother. I still love him and I want the best for him. And same thing for my mom, same thing for all my family members. And yeah, I think that us, me, you, showing up in a way where we are unapologetically sharing our experiences with the world, where we're unapologetically choosing to be open and honest with our experiences, our hurts, our pain. It is in no way a reflection of the love or the lack of love that we have for these people in our lives, the lack of care. We love, care, appreciate, admire, hold these people very close to us in our lives, but we are also we're seeing that there's shifts that happen. There's shifts in dynamics that happen, and that's okay.
I think that what is being misconstrued when there is a misunderstanding about why are y'all so damn public? Why can't y'all just have these private conversations with your people? And the fact of the matter is, sometimes these conversations are had, but the people that you're trying to have conversations with don't have the capacity to have these conversations. And what I mean by capacity, that means they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the patience, they don't have the context, and they don't have the empathy to actually hear what it is you're saying. So, say for instance, you did have a conversation with your mom, for the record, about what is going on. However, when you brought it up, you were met with impatience. You were met with basically the bottom line was, hey Natalie, I'm not ready to have this conversation right now. What I'm about to give you right now is not going to serve either one of us, so I'd rather not hear it. That was the bottom line. Now I'll say more words was said. Me and my experience, me blowing up with my parents privately and saying, this is what you need to do. Why ain't you doing this? I'm hurt, blah, 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 blah. My mom was going through her own thing. She didn't have the capacity to hold her daughters. I'm an adult now. I'm not 7. So I got to reparent myself. And I got to, at some point, got to stop expecting my parents to just hold space for me because they don't even know how to hold space for themselves.
And in a way, you sharing and really directly saying, like, this is the reason why I'm like this. You weren't there for me. You didn't protect me. You blew you.
Which I've said to my mom,
Yeah.
and all it did was make her sad, and she doesn't hear me. She hears me, but she doesn't understand.
It feels like a punishment, and it taps into this deep level of shame.
Yeah, when you do open up to your parents and tell them what's going on with you, they do tap into, what did I do to deserve this? Why are you telling me this? I did the best that I could.
Right.
You're right, you're right.
Yeah, and sh you know, it's to know that on some level, whether intentionally or not, she hurt her daughter is the hardest pill to swallow. And for some parents, they're never going to be able to step up to the plate to hear you in the way that you want to be heard.
Y'all know it's really what's real is parents' guilt. Like, I listened to a podcast today, and Kev on stage, the person, he was talking about how there's a such thing as parental guilt, where no matter how well you did, you will always have this guilt of, did I do right? Did I raise them right? Did I do everything I could? You know, did I harm them? Did I traumatize them? And that's always haunting parents in the back of their head. So it's like when you open up and say, hey, this something you did, it hurt me. Then that's like unlocking that, like, did I do right? Did I harm them? Did I traumatize them? And then when you tell them, you're confirming what they're already afraid of, and then you just trigger them because you're telling them the thing that they actually was afraid of. And I just want to say, I hope that we get to a point, parents. Shout out to my parents. I love you so much. I hope that we get to a point where we can hear each other.
I hope that this has been a healing and eye-opening conversation for you. Thank you again for joining us on the Divine Reconnection podcast. We'll see you guys next episode.